Hey there, 20-somethings. Welcome back to another episode of the I've Been There podcast. We have such a lovely guest today. Her name is Courtney Hartman, and she is a certified personal trainer and a somatic breathwork practitioner. She has so much wisdom and self-awareness at only 28 years old. I definitely admire her. In today's episode, we talk about how she used breathwork, mindfulness, and vulnerability to step away from the bodybuilding world, self-criticism, and an eating disorder. And since we recorded this podcast, she has gone through many somatic breathwork trainings, and she is now a practitioner. So if you're interested in learning more about what breathwork is and her awesome journey, she shares amazing content on her Instagram at courto_3. That is at courto_3. For some reason, she is just, it seems like she is just able to take everything that is in my own head, and I'm sure yours too, and put it into perfect words. And I definitely admire her for that. So go ahead and check her out. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you resonate with it, go ahead and let me know. As always, share on your Instagram and tag the at I've Been There podcast. Always love knowing who's listening and what part of every episode is your favorite. And as always, we would appreciate if you could support the show by liking, rating, and reviewing the show on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Enjoy. Welcome to the show, Courtney. Thank you so much for being here. I cannot wait for this amazing conversation that we are about to have. Before we dive in, if you could please just give our listeners an overview of your background, who you are, and what led you to this moment in your career of breathwork and personal training and all of the amazing things that you do.
Oh my gosh, who am I? Like, that's the literal question that I've been asking myself. I'm a very energetic, very upbeat person, and I'm that way when it comes to the work that I do as well. And so I have previously been a very much so, just a much stricter like bodybuilding, fitness, and nutrition coach. And I was doing that for the last like 6-7 years. And then recently over, I'd say like the last year and a half or so, I've kind of transitioned it into a little bit more of still working with the body, just in a different way. So I do a lot more of somatic based work, and I just got certified with somatic breath work. So I've been bringing that into, the clients that I work with. And ultimately, I would say like, I'm in the work of transformation. That's kind of what it always has been. At first, like I said, it was like the bodybuilding, the fitness and nutrition, like the physical transformation, like just kind of working with the body physically. Now I would say that it's a little bit more whole self and like total self. A lot more of like emotional kind of transformation, a lot of like embodiment work, a lot of energy work. But yeah, I think in essence, it's like, it's the work of like transformation.
I love that. So are you shifting away from the fitness space and then more into this holistic lifestyle, or are you?
Yeah. So the fitness and nutrition is always and always will be a big part of my life. Just because of how it was brought into my life and the relationship, 10 years ago when I first started getting into it, that it did allow me to build with myself and with my body at that time. And I also just love, like I said, I got a lot of energy. So like, I love being active. I love going to the gym. I love feeling good. You know, obviously all of that relates to the way that you move, the way that you nourish yourself. And so I'm not like shifting entirely away from it. I think that I'm incorporating a lot more. It's a slight pivot. It definitely is, but definitely just bringing in a lot more of the somatic embodiment kind of energetics, to the coaching that I do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, not necessarily working specifically anymore with people who are like, hey, I want to like lose 10 pounds and do this and that. could put it under the umbrella of like life coaching, I'd say, you know?
Okay. That's exciting. So what kind of sparked that shift? Was there just kind of an awakening moment, or did you just kind of naturally, as we do as humans, you shed that identity and you felt more aligned with this one?
Yeah, there was definitely a moment that I started to kind of, it just, this thought came over me and it definitely shifted and like shook my world up a little bit. I definitely had like a really strong identity within the bodybuilding space, the fitness industry, fitness and nutrition and coaching and all of that. So a little backstory, I guess, as to how I even got so into that space, is that in high school, I found myself struggling and also diagnosed with an eating disorder. I was diagnosed with having anorexia, and it was really interesting at the time. Like I like knew even then, I was like, this is strange. I was like, this doesn't actually have to do with food. I'm not actually scared of food. Like that, like the eating in the eating disorder. Yes, of course I was avoiding food. I wasn't eating properly, obviously. But it was like a shock to me when my doctor was like, or when I went to like, you know, the hospital and things like that, because things were not going well physically at all. And they like diagnosed me with anorexia. I was like, wait, what? I was like, I don't have an eating disorder. Like it was never about the food. And I like knew that. Surface level though it was. And so I did spend a lot of time, you know, throughout, you know, 4 or 5 years doing a lot of different, you know, therapies and working with myself. And the minute that I found, or the minute that I kind of came into my awareness of like macro tracking and, you know, being able to like go to the gym and like feel good and look good while also, you know, being able to be flexible, you know, with what you eat and whatnot. I mean, I dove in like headfirst to that. And I spent so much time studying and researching. And like, I remember being, you know, on my bed with my like notebook and just like watching all these videos and learning as much as I could about the nutrition aspect of it, you know, the macro tracking, because I was like, I do need to clearly fix my relationship with food. Like that is obvious. That's evident. And so that kind of was me walking into the fitness and nutrition world. I started to feel so much more empowered in my life. I was like taking control over it for the first time, showing up for myself, like treating myself a lot better. And so from there, like that's how I obviously had gotten into the fitness and the nutrition coaching. I was sharing my journey on Instagram through all of the bodybuilding that I did and just my entire life, which I love. Fast forward to like 2019, I had moved from Long Island, where I have lived for 24 years, down to North Carolina with my boyfriend at the time. And I was like, all right, you know what? It's been like 3 years since I competed and did bodybuilding. And like, again, you know, fitness and nutrition is always a part of my life. Like I'm always going to the gym. I'm always eating, you know, very healthfully. And I take nourishing and moving my body, you know, seriously. Like it makes me feel good. It's a way for me to, you know, just, you know, connect with myself. So I was, you know, I was always like in there, but I wasn't very intentional or deliberate or focused on bodybuilding at all for like the last 3 years. And I was like, you know what? I moved, like, I'm going to kind of dive back into this a little bit. Why not? I have like less distractions, less, you know, no family, no friends really, you know?
Yeah.
And he was super supportive of it. Also, he thought it was a great idea. And so that like whole prep and everything like went really fucking well. And I felt really good in it and I was super excited for it. That was through like 2019, 2020. Obviously in 2020, you know, we had the whole pandemic chaotic year. And the shows that I was going to do were obviously getting like pushed back. They were getting canceled, postponed. Obviously no one really knew what the hell was going on. I've always worked from home, so it wasn't that, but just knowing that, like, I don't know, there was just a weird energetic shift, like, in the air during that time, you
For
know? And
sure.
so, yeah, I think everybody felt it.
Oh yeah.
And I just started to really drop into a little bit more self-awareness. Always been a very self-aware person. And very aware of myself, like, and how I am. But there was just like an extra kind of level to it. And I started to realize that I would feel really confident and I would feel really excited and full of joy and like just so good when I was in the gym and I was doing all of like the bodybuilding things that I was working towards and had all those goals. And then outside the gym, though, I was like, why don't I feel that way? Like, I'm beating myself up. I'm judging myself. I don't feel good enough. Like, I'm comparing myself to so many other people. So, when I'm in the gym and like doing it, I feel good. But, like, that's like 7% of my day. It was just weird. It was just like a couple moments of like just realizing like that voice in my head and how I was really treating myself internally. And eventually, I had this thought come over me, and I feel like this was before the whole like healing thing, and you know, people talking about healing and trauma and all of this stuff really started to pick up its own momentum. I just remember sitting in my living room and I had the thought of like, I healed physically and intellectually. And even behavior-wise from my eating disorder, that is something that I will never consciously do again. I'll never just be like, oh, you know, gonna restrict my food, gonna give myself an eating disorder. But I just started to notice how I felt, and I started to notice the judgments. I started to notice myself kind of dissociating in certain situations, or just like kind of throughout the day. It was very much so more in my head than I ever remembered being, except for when I had an eating disorder. I was like, this is weird because I don't have one. It doesn't have to do with my relationship to food. So
Ooh,
what
so
is
you
happening?
noticed a pattern.
My body was like going, you know, yes, I was prepping, but like, yeah, I was falling into such similar feelings. And I was like, why do I feel this way? And I remember texting my sister sometimes. I'm like, I haven't felt like this since I had an eating disorder. Like, this is fucking weird. Like, I don't understand why I feel like this, you know? And it was that thought that I was like, oh, okay. I never really healed emotionally from the root causes of what actually caused my eating disorder. I healed my relationship with food. I learned how the body worked. Like, I did all that, like, very surface level, worked with my physical body, but I never really worked with the emotional body at all. And, I believe the question that you asked was, you know, I think how I kind of got into this space of healing and emotional work and embodiment. And it's because I realized just how much trauma and just how much conditioning and all of that that I had from, you know, years and years prior. You know, like I said, I had that eating disorder, and so many things that kind of sparked that at the time were kind of popping up and showing up again when I had moved to North Carolina. And so it was this weird kind of thing where like the body remembers, and my body would start to like dissociate throughout the day, and I'd be like, whoa, like what is this feeling? Like I thought my blood sugar was just low because I was dieting or something. I was like, oh, maybe I gotta go like eat something. But no, like looking back, I'm like, no, like I could start to associate. So the reason why I've gotten so into the somatic work is just because, yes, of like personal experience with, you know, being able to actually heal from past traumas and integrate, you know, myself in a new way of being. And the other reason I think is because, like I said, fitness and nutrition and bodybuilding. That kind of sparked me having a relationship with myself and having a connection with myself and a connection with my body that I did not have prior because of the eating disorder. But the somatic work and the embodiment work has given me a incredibly just next level, like deeper relationship and understanding and connection, you know, with my body. I think the two kind of go hand in hand a little bit, you know, but yeah, really being able to understand myself, that question of like, why am I the way that I am, you know, and also being able to get out of those thought patterns and out of the even like emotional patterns, you know, that keep us stuck. You know, our subconscious decisions, our triggers, our instinctual emotions and reactions, like really just being able to get out of those, you know, and it has allowed me to clear up a lot of space, you know, within and kind of remove a lot of this gunk within so that I can be and feel and connect and like anchor myself to more of the truth of like who I really am.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that background and
Yeah,
all of that in your
it's
journey.
a long background.
No, I mean it's part of your journey, and that
Yeah.
was the question. How did you get to this moment? So thank you. I appreciate that. I think there was a lot of takeaways in there that a lot of our listeners could probably relate to, whether it's from the eating disorder to self-awareness. Self-awareness really takes a lot of strength, and it takes a shit ton of awareness. Self-awareness takes a lot of awareness because,
Yes.
like, seriously, it's as simple as that. Because I think there's a lot of us just they're walking around, and this isn't to say self-awareness is like let's judge ourselves and let's identify like everything that is might be wrong. Like, that's not what it is. It's just being aware of how you're treating yourself, because that ultimately will mirror how you are treating others around you. And it goes in full circle. And if we're not aware of what's going on internally, we're all probably not going to be aware of what's going on externally.
And how we are like the common denominator in a lot of those situations, you know, where we're like, why is this happening to me? It's like, well, you might not have the self-awareness to realize that you are doing and you're being X, Y, and Z all the time. And that is what is creating these similar situations over and over and over again in your life that like you're not learning from. You might be lacking that self-awareness to, yeah, I like what you said. It's like this, yeah, it's like self-reflection. It's like the observation of yourself. You know, almost like taking that like bird's eye view of yourself, and like observing the way that you are.
Do you have any tips on how somebody could increase their level of self-awareness? Is it a matter of practicing getting quieter with ourselves and just truly being with ourselves?
Yeah,
What do you I don't know which what
I
advice you have
think.
on
Yeah, no, I do. I well, definitely, I
that?
think spending more intentional time alone is the biggest thing. I've always been, I was going to call myself a loner. That's not true, but I love to be alone. I've always loved to be alone. I am a very social, outgoing person too, but like, you know, and I think, like I said, that, you know, I've always been a little bit self-aware. Sometimes almost to a fault in a way. But
Yeah, I can relate.
I think it's because I've spent time alone, like intentional alone time, you know, even when I was in you know, my past relationship for the last 7 years, like there would still be moments of my day where like I had to be alone, you know. Regardless, though, yes, I think that that is the biggest thing that can help to increase it a little bit. Because we're very quick, especially in today's age and society and all that, to be alone and be so afraid of our own thoughts and the discomfort that they might have us feel. And instead of questioning it, instead of wondering about it, instead of observing the thoughts, we just distract ourselves from it. Like, oh, I'm not feeling good right now. Like, whatever's going on is like making me feel uneasy or anxious or, you know, just bad, low, whatever it might be. You know, we go and we like scroll on our phone or, you know, we go and we eat something. Like, we are always trying to just distract ourselves from being in the present moment with our own self. And I think that that is where a lot of the self-awareness really begins to grow from.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're alone, and you're just like sitting in your room or wherever, and you don't look at your phone and you don't turn on the TV and you don't do anything besides just kind of notice and observe.
Yeah.
Like, what are the thoughts that you're having? And
yeah.
are these thoughts conducive to the life you want to live, who you want to be? You know, I think self-awareness comes with self-inquiry and like asking yourself a lot of questions of like, okay, well, why do I think this way? What
yeah.
do I think? You know, just like,
I think when we're not. Right. I think when we're not distracting ourselves, like what you mentioned, I truly believe, and this is something that I've been practicing, is that's when a lot of your answers will come to you in a space of quiet. And if you're someone listening who's like, oh, I hate, you know, I'm really not into meditation, or I'm really not into like the woo woo hippy dippy stuff, like it really doesn't have to look like that for you. It can, you know, your sense of alone time without distraction can look however you want it to.
Oh yeah.
But something I've noticed in myself, and it's so funny, we were just talking about it off microphone, was I've truly sat with myself last night, because like you mentioned, when you are self-aware and you notice patterns going on with your emotions. That was happening to me last night. I was noticing a certain emotion that I have not felt in a very long time, at least probably 4 months, 6 months. And it started to kind of bubble up again. And I was just like, I easily could have, and I wanted to just like sit on my couch, watch Netflix, drink my tea and veg out for the rest of the night. But I knew I had to address it. And I remember like being in the shower and I was just like, shit, like I don't want to do this right now, but I have to as soon as I get out of the shower. And I did. I grabbed my notebook and I just like, it sounds like aggressive, but I just forced myself to sit there and like let whatever come from out of like onto the page. I was just writing it all down, and truly my answer to kind of resolving the emotion I was feeling presented itself. And
yeah.
I was just, and all it took was like 15 minutes. Like,
yeah, it's not like you were there for 7 hours. Like, I have
right.
to sit and ponder. Like, no. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I really think what you were saying too about, you know, we're living in an age of distraction. I know I started to completely turn my phone off during the day. When I know I'm having a slower work day, I will truly just turn my phone off, because even the energy that I feel comes off of phones, it can just,
oh,
it
yeah.
gravitates. You just want to like pick it up. I think alone time, whatever that looks like for you without distraction, is extremely healthy and helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Two really good points there. You know, the first with the phone is that I moved home back to Long Island from North Carolina in November, and I was feeling it for a long time of like needing to like take a break from social media, because it is
mm-hmm.
how I have kind of like built a life in a way. And yeah, the minute that I came home and I, you know, I'm home, like I'm living with my parents again, which is its own can of worms, but you know, it's been good.
We've been there.
Oh yeah. that's a different rabbit hole. But yeah, I took that opportunity and I was like, I am jumping off of all social media. And I did for like probably like 10 weeks. It was like 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I took Instagram. It was challenging in the beginning. And that's what I wanted to say, is that we don't even realize how automatic we just go and reach for our phone. Like, oh, I have nothing to do. Scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa, back, like, take, like, if you don't need to do it for 2 months, even if you did it for a day and like turned your phone off or deleted the app and was like, I'm not going on that one time today, not a single time, you will notice just how much it is like an addiction. Like you get the urge to go on your phone. And like,
mm-hmm.
if you start to notice just how much that happens, like, that could be mind-blowing in and of itself.
Yeah, I got an app called One Sec, and you attach it. There's like a way in your settings you can like attach it to your apps, and what it'll do is it will, if you open up an app, and I use it on Instagram, and if you open up Instagram, for example, it One Sec app will come up and it'll kind of like interrupt you before you actually enter Instagram or whatever app you're choosing. And it'll make you take a deep breath, and then it'll ask you, do you still want to go on? And I'm like,
That's fucking awesome.
no.
No, yeah.
And then
No.
also I'm like, if I have to sit here for like at least 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and like do breath work, like, yeah, even that like is annoying. So like, no, I'm just
Yeah,
not even
like
gonna
I'm
go
over
on
it.
it. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, the break that I took from Instagram really allowed me to also completely shift my relationship with it. There was a lot of just starting it so long, not so long ago. I mean, 8.5 years ago, it was like 2015, which like sounds so long ago, but like I feel like really wasn't. But I mean, Instagram was just a different like world back
Yeah.
then, let alone anything else.
It was simpler times.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
It was fun. Now it's like
Now it's
stressful.
stressful and I have to like try
Yeah.
a little bit anyway. But yeah, I and that's what I realized too is like, and this is just also me personally, I think. I mean, maybe some people, I mean, everybody's relationship with Instagram like could probably be a little bit healthier, I think. But just kind of like working in that space and whatnot, I realized like how just attached I was to it and how like yes, dependent, but more of like this, like I would put so much pressure on myself. I felt like I could never keep up, like with what everybody else was doing, what everyone else was posting, and all the clients that everybody else was getting. And I'm like, well, what about me? But like they're getting all these clients. Like, is there any like whew, like it was just like, yeah. So yeah, really shifting my relationship because I took that break has been huge also. The other thing that you said just was about, last night when you kind of made that choice, like just kind of like sit with yourself. I love that you mentioned like being aware of how you started to feel, like you felt this similar emotion kind of start to like bubble and like conjure back up. I mean, yeah, I mean, I can relate because over the last, I mean, yeah, over the last like 2 weeks or so, like, yeah, there's been a lot for me too, kind of like resurfacing and unearthing itself that I feel like I already like kind of felt okay with and like was better with. I think something important though is that, well, two things. So it's like, I love that you were able to like notice just how you felt. I think sometimes we can be so in our head that we don't actually notice how we like in our body. So I love that. And the other thing was that, yeah, when those things come up, I used to be like afraid of things coming up and things like resurfacing or just
Absolutely.
feeling, whatever. And recently, probably within like the last like, yeah, a couple of weeks, when all this stuff kept coming back up, I was like, it's coming up so it can move through me. And the more that I let it move through me, the
Love that.
more I can free myself from it and like clear it out of myself so that it doesn't continue to show up and it doesn't continue to bog me down and weigh me down. And it doesn't continue to be a part of me or a part of my life or a part of how I show up, if it's not conducive to like who I really want to be,
Right. Yeah, and I'll say it, I wasn't always like this. I would say
Oh,
this is
yeah.
newer for me in terms of being able to identify the emotion. And I do think well, I take that back. Maybe over the last couple of years, I've done a really good job at being able to sit with the emotion. I think sometimes we want to address things right away. We want to squash them right away. But sometimes what happens with that is we don't fully understand what's going on to be able to properly explain it to ourselves and explain it to others. I realize that in personal relationships and even in work relationships, like if I get an email from a client that is just like, I just like do not want to deal with this, blah, 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 I will definitely take the time before I respond so that I can kind of like comprehend why I'm getting irritated and like why whatever they requested I feel is ridiculous before I respond, because I want to respond back with compassion and support and not aggression. But yeah, it's something. And even just in my personal life outside of the professional life, when you're able to sit with that, let's say it's you and a partner or you and a friend and you're upset about something, or they, you know, something happened, let's say it's a negative emotion, you're frustrated or you're upset. I truly believe agreeing to step away from each other and being able to digest that and then being able to come back and with a little bit more clarity, because usually when we're upset and angry, we're speaking from the mind and not so much the heart. But again, that is definitely, I consider, a practice.
It is.
It's not super easy. But something you mentioned is that you will do certain modalities to kind of let that energy of that emotion kind of flow through you. What does that look like for you? Is it breath work? Is it other activities? How can we let go of some of these emotions and not let them take over?
It's funny you even at, oh, well, it's not, I mean, yeah, it is kind of funny and ironic because like literally just yesterday I was like, oh wow. Like I do a lot of like different things depending on like kind of how I feel. And sometimes it's also like trial and error. Like I'll try something, I'm like, this is not helping. Like this is not landing. This is not helping me get out of this at all. And so I'm like, all right, you know what? I gotta do something different. Instead of just being like, oh, it failed. And like, I'm now have to just succumb to feeling this way, you know? So, some things that do help, is breath work for sure. Whether I do a short mini little practice, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes or so, or perhaps I, like today I did, and I took myself through, a complete hour somatic breath work session. And it was exactly kind of what I needed, you know, yesterday I just felt myself kind of like in my head and just being kind of like blah and like whatever. And I was like, oh God, I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel good. Like I want to just feel clear. I want to feel present. I want to feel, you know, happy. and I went on one of my little like feel good walks. I like play my little playlist and I just like listen to the music. I let the music just like kind of infiltrate and just kind of feel good. Sometimes it's just like going outside with like no music and no phone and just like, okay, like taking a deep breath, not like a breath work session or anything, but just like taking a deep breath, and like being in nature, like nature, it's power, you know, is to ground us and to kind of like realign us. So I'll go on a walk through like a couple, either just like walk through the streets and, you know, little neighborhoods and stuff, or, you know, go through like a trail or like kind of get lost in the woods a little bit. The biggest thing though, I told my sisters the other day, I was like, I actually like listen to music now. Not that I didn't listen to music before, but I really would only listen to it like kind of in the car a little bit, but I would just like turn the radio on. Like it wasn't anything, it was just whatever. And then in the gym, like I always listen to music like that. You know, I got my playlist. that shit gets me in the zone. But outside of that, like I never would just like listen to music. And recently that has been something that has really allowed me to also kind of shift my energy.
I love that. And I think that still comes down to that self-awareness piece, like what works for you to let go and recharge. For me lately, it's been dancing. I was a dancer for 20 years. And if anybody saw my Instagram story on Valentine's Day, I like made a video of me like dancing for the first time in 7 years like full out in my
Oh my
living
gosh.
room and was just trying to like tap into like more self-love and just like letting whatever flowed like flow. Let me use this time to like lift myself up
Yeah. You don't
and
have to like go feel good because you feel sad. Like you're also allowed to just like fucking feel good and also raise it up.
Yeah,
Like
I mean, even though I was a dancer, but I dance when I'm super excited, super happy, but in a way to get any like negative energy out is something I learned from my previous life coach is not only dancing can definitely move it around, but like literally like flicking your hands, like if you were like if you had
like
like water
shaking.
on them, yeah, like shaking them, shaking your feet, shaking your legs, like that is so powerful and it works.
Therapeutic,
And
yeah.
it's so wild to me that just from like moving your body can make you feel a completely
Yeah.
different way. It's mind
Yeah.
blowing. It's mind
No, it
blowing.
totally is.
Yeah.
But I do. The dancing does help. And yeah, you just kind of like flick it away and like kind of shake it, jump up and down. Like it does. It moves things around. I mean, our emotions, the way we feel, is just energy, right? So when I say like, oh, I want it to like move through me, like I want that energy to move through me, like get it out. Like it's energy, and if we don't move it around, and it's just stagnant, it just like lays there at rest, and it's all internalized, and it's like it's not good. It's not good.
You just brought up self-judgment and how sometimes when we are overly self-aware, it actually can turn into criticism. So I think this all kind of goes into full circle, like self-awareness and then just being in tune with yourself. You know, we can have such a high level of self-awareness that it almost becomes self-critical. And
Yeah.
then we can either choose to sit in that self-criticism and believe it and then not do anything with it and then be in this stuck ball of shit. But
Yeah.
then I think the extra layer of practice is then being able to catch those self-criticisms or limiting beliefs about yourself or a situation. Do you have any advice for anybody to help them? And we talked about being more present and spending time with self, but are there any other tips to help somebody capture those self-criticizing thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's such a good point and can be self-aware, but like you said, sometimes it turns into criticism and judgment. And then because that's not what self-awareness is. Self-awareness is not just criticizing yourself for being a certain way or judging yourself. Self-awareness is pretty neutral, right? It's like very objective. Like you're just literally bringing awareness to something, not polarizing it in any way, and just like, asking a question or two about it. And to kind of just notice those self-critical thoughts, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is really paying attention to how you start to feel in your body, the somatic sensations that begin to actually come up and pop up, which we don't always pay attention to because there's that mind-body connection, right? Where like we start thinking about something and we're automatically feeling the emotion, and then the emotion that we're feeling is automatically creating more thoughts, in alignment with that, right? So we get stuck in the loop. And when we're in that self-critical loop and where that self-judgment, and sometimes it's like very vindictive too. Like, how are you feeling? Like, yeah, you're having the thoughts, but sometimes we get so stuck in the story, we get so stuck in the loop that it's like it's just happening, and we believe it, we fall into it. And I think the biggest thing is to pay attention to the difference in how you feel when you're in that self-critical loop or you're just being self-aware.
What advice would you give to your 20-year-old self or yourself just in, your 20s in general?
I would, yeah, for myself, and I think just in general, it would be to be here now. Be where your feet are, because it is so easy to get caught up and lost in what we have to do, what we need to do next, where we need to go, what everyone else is doing on social media, all of that stuff that we forget to actually just be present and enjoy what it is we have in the moment. And when we are in the moment, we are also a little bit better able to, you know, discern whether something is or isn't for us and our best, highest good. There was a lot of my 20s just kind of always worrying about like, what am I going to do next? Like, where I'm going to go, or like what I have to do and who's doing this and who's doing what. And I think that if I was able to kind of slow down and be a little bit more present and be, things maybe could have went differently, but I just think I would have been at more peace. Like,
Well, so much great advice, so much great wisdom. Thank you so much for being on the show. I think you really just shared some deep, powerful insight into your world and how your world can, you know, expand and help others. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me. It's always super fun. I loved it. Yeah, hopefully there was some insight or some inspiration or some impact, you know, left, even for just one of your listeners.